As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Big news! The Athletic NBA show will now bring you even more content through The Athletic Audio Plus. Subscribe now for a free 30-day trial via Apple Podcasts to listen to bonus specials, exclusive interviews, Q&As, and more. And after your trial, it's only $1 a month for access to all Athletic Audio plus bonus content across our entire network of shows. Check out the Athletic NBA Show's latest bonus episode now, only on Apple Podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Andrew Schlecht.
And I am Alex Spears.
And you can join us every Saturday on the Athletic NBA Show for the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
We will bring you the most interesting plots and storylines from the playoffs, fun guests, and a weekly trivia show where I attempt to completely embarrass my co-host, Andrew.
So grab your coffee, do your chores, and turn up the Saturday Slammin' Jam right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo DeKeel every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerd or She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerd or She Wrote right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Every Thursday morning, after a long night of Wednesday playoff action, just waiting for you in your podcast feeds as you wake up, it's Point of Contention.
On the Athletic NBA Show as a part of the Athletic
Podcast Network, it's myself, Zach Harper, teeing up the toughest topics and questions to Marcus Thompson and Ethan Sherwood-Strauss with Jade Hoy producing.
Every Thursday,
subscribe
to the Athletic NBA Show.
Point of Contention.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some of the craziest and most hard-hitting theories and takes of playoff action possible.
And you'll get Point of Contention right in your eardrums. In fact, if you don't like it, we'll have a Point of Contention for you
right here on The Athletic.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show Monday through Friday
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of Contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach. That's Jade producing. Coming up on the show, the Suns are on a run. The Pistons are lottery lucky. We got finders. We got keepers. We got losers and grim weepers. And we got the Ben Simmons conundrum and a pat on the back or a slap in the face. We also have in this corner, Bay Area legend, new homeowner, and author of two, counting two books about the Warriors dynasty, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, I got a question for you. Tupac or Biggie?
Relax. This is not even a question. What are we doing here? What are we doing? You got a better question with like Biggie or Jay-Z. Biggie or Nas? There's no Tupac or Biggie question. This question doesn't even count. And I love Biggie.
Wow.
But yeah, nah, it's Pac all day.
Wow.
West side till I die. West side is motherfucker. West side is motherfucker.
Screaming outlaw, running on the curb. They never try me, cause right behind me you kill a team. I get a word, cut the head off a nigga like a guillotine.
In this corner, Bay Area suburban legend, author of the book
The Victory Machine,
Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Ethan, Rick and Morty is back. Have you seen it, and can you give us an instant review?
Haven't seen it. Feel like it fell off after the first couple seasons. Think they're checked out. It's gotten a little too meta.
Wow. Okay.
Just being honest.
I keep trying with Rick and Morty. I promise you I'll be trying.
You don't like it?
Slob. I can't get over your wife
has way better taste.
My wife loves Rick and Morty.
Hilarious.
Rick and Morty.
I haven't seen the new stuff, but the first three seasons, like, genius. Genius.
Yeah, I would agree.
How are you not in?
I'm not in. It's just too weird for me. I'm not high. I feel like you got to be high.
Well, that's strike one. Right there. Speaking of strike one, what about take one? Jade, start the clock. Suns, Ayton playing around. Lottery dreams. Nets crumble. Sixers blame game. And Giannis praise Tuesday night saw a finish for the ages as the Suns took a 2-0 series lead against the Kawhi-less Clippers. With less than a second to go in the game, Jay Crowder lobbed it into DeAndre Ayton, who tipped it in to secure a 104-103 victory. One of the greatest inbound plays of all time. Jay, play the tape.
Crowder looking, throws it alley. Oh! Ayton puts it down! He puts it down! It's over!
The final 30 seconds of this game featured four lead changes and took damn near an hour to complete. Meanwhile, this was a game that got away from the Clippers. Paul George. Oh, good old Paul George when it comes to the old content machine. Missed two free throws with 8 seconds left. And now they got to go back home to try to even this one up. Good news for the Clippers. They're already the only team in NBA history to overcome multiple 2-0 deficits and win in the same postseason. They lost the first two at home in the first round before overcoming Dallas in seven games. They lost the first two in Utah before beating those fraudulent Jazzmen four straight times. But they're going to have to do it against Chris Paul, who has yet to play in the series. But CP3 will likely be back for game three. Marcus, are the Clippers done?
I mean, they were done from the beginning since I picked Phoenix to go to the finals, right? We all remember that.
3 months ago.
We all remember that, right? But I don't think they're done in the sense of, like, they won't find a way to make the series interesting. Paul George is trolling you all, and I think you should know this by now. Like, he was getting all this love. Everybody was talking how great he was, and he had to, you know, kind of regress a little bit just to keep you all honest, right? To see if the love was real. And sure enough, he got to see that it wasn't real. Y'all don't really like Paul George, and you were waiting for the next opportunity for him to fail. You were waiting for it. So now he has another chance to redeem himself and to get revenge and to come back. And that's the best version of Paul George. We don't like everybody love Paul George. We like the pandemic P who needs to crawl himself out of the slime of Twitter hate. And that's what he's going to do again in game three. And then they're going to lose game four in series. And it's going to be all that. But I do think they get game three. I do like how they're playing. It's if Luke Kennard is hitting threes in Phoenix, I imagine he'll never miss it in L.A., so they're going to get game three. And then we'll get to be nervous a little bit, just a little bit, and then Phoenix will win again.
Classic gentleman sweep. I should say, the way Zach sounds like Gil from The Simpsons when talking about Paul George. I don't know what that was, but Paul George, pandemic fee. Come on, Paul, you can make it.
Was anybody happier than Zach that he missed some free throws? Was anybody happier?
Yeah, what's Zach's hate about?
It's not against Play G. You just saw an opportunity to troll.
One, I was at a comedy show, so I didn't see it live. But two, when I watched the free throws following said comedy show at a bar, oh boy, did I laugh. Because I just knew that the Suns won. I didn't know how it happened.
The funny part was he was sitting there at the comedy show and it was like a dead spot. And he chuckled. And he just chuckled. He didn't even know why. He didn't know what happened. Like, everybody's like, yo, it was funny. And he just chuckling. And it's because something in his soul told him that Paul George missed a great
little weird Dennis Scott reprise right there. Except I expect Paul George to hit free throws in the future. He's a really good shooter. I don't know what to make of that, by the way. He had just hit free throws before that point. Maybe that's bad luck. But it does seem like we are just waiting. The confirmation bias is not on the side of Paul George. We are waiting for him to fail. We are ignoring when he succeeds. And that's just the archetype. That's just what we've done with him. And unfortunately for him, I agree with Marcus, I don't see much of a way out unless there's some sort of medical information about Kawhi Leonard that I am unaware of and he comes back. It's an admirable fight the Clippers are putting up. I'm really impressed with what they did against the Jasmine, as Zach said. It's been cool. It's been nice, but it just looks like the Suns are a better basketball team.
I mean, because they are a better basketball team. Hey, but can we talk a minute about how...
Well, hold on. If Kawhi was there,
Phoenix is still a better basketball team.
Then it's a fight.
I'm sticking with my prediction. Can we talk about how they spent 30 minutes over the last 2 minutes doing all these little reviews and all this ridiculous, getting down to the minuscule aspects of the game. Meanwhile, DeAndre Ayton gets to disrobe Zubats in the final moment of the game. And it was a legal pick, a jersey grab. It was like all kind of stuff happened. It's like, I want that version of basketball, though. I'm okay with it. I like that. But every other aspect, why are we getting down to the, I don't know, we got to check for...
The fingernail.
A hostile act.
I'm with Ethan.
Like, come on, man.
I'm with Ethan. I don't want replays anymore. I don't even want replays. I don't even want replays on the broadcast of stuff that happened that's cool. Let's just get through it, okay? Maybe a little picture in picture. I'm so sick of these breaks. I don't care if they got it right anymore. I know that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to nickel and dime these things and make sure that everyone's on the up and up and no one got anything wrong. And I don't care anymore. You missed a tip ball. You missed a shot going in. You thought it was a three and it was a two. I don't give a shit. We got through 50 years of this goddamn league where we didn't care about any of that stuff. And now for the 75th anniversary, I want them to okay 75 mistakes in a game without having to check it.
I don't know how much this replay equipment costs. How about just add a fourth ref? No replay, add a fourth ref. More eyes on the
court. They don't have enough for make three competent refs out there, so that might be tough.
Wasn't the best part trying to figure out who couldn't be on the court anymore because they had been subbed in, even though they're not allowed to be subbed in, and I couldn't really suss out whether that should be a technical foul or if the ref has discretion to tell everybody, hey, you should probably not have them on the court.
I was hoping a technical foul. I was all like, that's a T. That's a T. Wrong man on the court.
Him up.
I mean, that was unbelievable and unbelievably boring. Somehow it was both things at the same time.
I rewatched the final half of the fourth quarter, right? The final 6 minutes of it this morning.
I watched it for the first time this morning. But I watched that and I was like, fast forward. I couldn't believe how fucking long it took. It's crazy.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, it was insane. I don't think the league is going to adopt what Zach is advocating and what I'm advocating. I think they're too far down this road. I wish they had listened a decade ago or so when I was banging this drum, yeah. But it's just mission creep because it's never good enough. You always need to look at more stuff. And then it becomes, well, why isn't this kind of play reviewable if that kind of play is reviewable? And why is this thing outside of 2 minutes not reviewable? It's just as meaningful as what happened within the 2 minutes. And it just keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. And how about refs try your best? Sometimes people will be screwed in bad calls. Overall, it will all come out in the wash and the best team will probably win. We've got a lot to do in our lives, hopefully, theoretically. Let's just try to reduce it down to the basketball and not have so much of our lives be consumed by IRS audits of what just happened.
It's going the other way. Even baseball, they're doing it now, right? I'm going with Clayton Kershaw's plan. Clayton Kershaw said, if you're going to check the pitcher for a substance, there got to be a penalty when you get it wrong. You know what? If you fall out like somebody elbowed you in the sternum, and you're about to die, and we look at the replay, and somehow you barely got touched or wasn't that bad,
You get an extra out. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Something like there's got to be a punishment for going to replay for the hostile act, and it's actually nothing.
I got to say, I do like Max Scherzer last night getting checked like four times in a game and having to like, you know, put his hands up. I've got
the
nothing
ref,
on me. I've got nothing.
Really felt up his hair. You know, he really like rubbed his hair. Like, wow.
Do you guys like this color on me, by the way? I've got this like kind of lavender shirt on. Yeah.
I'm
digging
it.
Yeah. It's kind of
summer.
You know,
it's summer league. Summer league's coming.
Yeah. It feels like summer league. It feels like my top pick. Speaking of top pick, Jay, take two. Your chance to win starts here. The Detroit Pistons will select number one overall. They'll have the top pick in the 2020.
Need a little bit more bass in that
2021 NBA draft. No, the Pistons haven't won basketball in a long time. I'm not putting bass into Detroit. They don't get that yet. You got to win a goddamn game, okay? They won the draft lottery Tuesday. It marks the first time since 1970 the franchise has earned the rights to the number one overall pick. In a star-studded draft with a highly coveted prospect at the top in Cade Cunningham, Detroit was finally lucky. They had not won the lottery in the 14 previous appearances, losing slots in six of them. Here's the rest of the list. Tillman Fertitta's Houston Rockets select number two. We got the Cavs at number three, and we got the Toronto Raptors.
Appropriate amount of bass.
And Tillman Fertitta, I guarantee it was too much bass.
Edit in some banjo music.
The Toronto Raptors moved up to number four. Rest of the top 10 includes Orlando, OKC, Golden State. Thanks to Andrew Wiggins' contract as they take Minnesota Timberwolves selection, Orlando, which gets Chicago selection, Sacramento, and New Orleans. Ethan, the obligatory question, who is the big winner of Lottery Tuesday?
I think it would be the Detroit Pistons. That would be my crazy take.
We need to roam with the fire.
Explosions. Air horns.
I think that's great for them.
Strobe lights.
It's a whole lot of money in this motherfucker. Damn.
Congrats on Cade Cunningham. That's really cool for you guys out there in Detroit. For James Edwards III, you know, I think that's a fantastic thing for him to cover. I hope he can help my guy Killian Hayes realize his talent. Maybe
Killian Hayes.
Guy Killian Hayes. Yeah. It's, okay. I hold out hope, especially watching Cameron Payne doing what he's doing. The French Cameron Payne, I think, hopefully can watch the tape.
Does anyone want to be? Remember when Nemanja Nedović was the
European Derrick Rose?
Yeah, the European Derrick Rose. Does anyone want to be the French Cameron Payne?
Hey, man. I don't think anybody wanted it before, but maybe now.
Maybe now. Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Nobody wanted it before. Everybody would run from it. But it's amazing what a few weeks do to a reputation. And I think that
Weeks? He's been in the league like 5 years. You say Killian Hayes will be great in 2025.
Hey, man, I'm just saying that Cameron Payne, it went from G League to, wow, this guy led the Phoenix Suns in scoring in a conference finals game. So, look.
Won.
Hey, we're getting derailed. It might be tempting to go Mobley. Would it not be tempting to take a look? To just take a look at the situation?
Number one?
Yeah, just take a look. I'm not saying they should do it. I mean, just, you think no-brainer, Cade.
Here's the look. You take the look at the draft order. You're still number one. You take Cade Cunningham. That's the look you take.
Ethan, this is Siri. You must be crazy. Are you fucking crazy? Ethan, this is Siri.
He wants him to take a look at Evan Mobley.
Sorry, my Siri keeps...
Even Siri's like, that's a horrible idea.
I can't hear when I say this. I said take a look, and I lost my hearing. It was like some ironic punishment from the Lord. I don't understand it. Well, but... I'm just saying that I guess you take a look, you kick the tires, but you probably just go with Cunningham is what I'm saying.
You take a look at Evan Mobley and say, hey, are you Cade Cunningham? No? Okay. We're going to go with Cade Cunningham. And that's no offense to Evan Mobley. It's just you're not Cade Cunningham. Marcus, let me ask you, since I got a couple of Warriors experts here, how disastrous of a trade is this D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins and now the seventh pick in the 2021 NBA draft?
Disastrous for who? Minnesota?
Yeah.
I mean, they traded.
I mean, I wanted two picks for them if I knew. Yeah, they kind of got off. All right.
They traded for the Ohio Cameron Payne and, you know.
Oh, man.
Wow. Now, to be fair, they were 13-11 this year when Kat and D'Angelo Russell played in the same game together.
I mean, look, they got a pick to get off Wiggins, right? And did they miss on D'Angelo? Did they miss on the Ohio campaign? Probably, but...
What if campaign's from Ohio? Where is he from?
Nah, he's looking up Tennessee.
Okay.
Why he can't be the Tennessee D'Angelo Russell, man? That's cold blood. So, I feel like Minnesota... Man, there was just a time that we thought that thing was an anvil, right? Like on them. So the fact that they got out of it and got one pick, gave up one pick, and got a player they wanted, which weirdly they wanted him, right? I mean, they wanted him. So it's like in that sense, they won. In hindsight, watching Andrew Wiggins do something like play defense all year, right, and be a solid rotation player, it doesn't look bad. And if they would have kept their pick, they'd been set. They would have been set. So they did miss a great opportunity. Think about this. They would have added another lottery pick to Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns. They still got Malik Beasley. They still got D'Angelo Russell, players they could move. They would have been sitting pretty. So they did kind of take an L, but I think, man, getting off of Wiggins was a big deal for them. So I'm not going to slight them for that. I am going to ask you this, though. You talking about big winners. It's got to be Cleveland. What does Dan Gilbert have?
He's the second richest owner in the league. So let's start.
Is he buying picks? Is he buying picks? It feels like Cleveland is in the top five every year. It's unbelievable how they keep winning.
It's a little suspicious.
They don't keep winning on the basketball court. That's how they end up in the top five picks every year.
But neither does Detroit. So
Dan Gilbert's net worth is $40.5 billion. I demand an investigation. That's all I'm saying. It's a little.
No, I'm sure all those subprime mortgages were on the up and up. I'm sure that he had nothing to.
I just don't get why Cleveland keeps getting in the top. Like, and especially the way they're tricking them off.
Who cares?
I know they're tricking them off. You know who cares? Orlando cares. Detroit cares.
Maybe don't build a core around Vucevic and Fournier and Gordon. Okay, then you get to you get a new approach now. And now we can decide if you matter.
Yeah,
fact.
It's
big winners is Cleveland.
Hey, so man, I bring back the rigged NBA is what I say.
Oh,
bring back,
I love a rigged NBA.
You know,
way better. Goodness. Way better for the story.
I mean, come on! How excited are people? How excited are people? Not just in the Bay Area, if the Warriors get the number one pick and the number five pick or number four pick.
The amount of people who would hate it and the amount of people who would love it would be insane. People would go crazy.
People love controversy.
Absolutely. We'll go nuts. We'd go absolutely nuts if they got it.
You know, it's Adam Silver's got to do a better job rigging.
Let Detroit live. Zion is going to New Orleans and Cade Cunningham is going to Detroit.
I mean,
Zion's not there for long.
It's an honest NBA. You know, it's an honest NBA. People should be able. Hey, nobody is giving the NBA credit for honest results right now. The results in these playoffs would not be what they've been if it was rigged. And I don't see any of the people who say it's rigged or a conspiracy saying, hey, good on you, Adam Silver. I like that you run a clean operation. Ralph Nader, not going to send a letter. It's fantastic.
I saw, yeah, Ralph Nader really using his time wisely there back in 2002. I did see a tweet from Amin Al-Hassan last night asking how a foul could be called on Devin Booker early in the game. And then I just clicked on the tweet to see the replies, and someone said, league's rigging it against the Suns. They don't want him in the finals.
Of course.
So, you know, not everyone's on board with that. But I'm with you. If they had been rigged, we'd probably see the Brooklyn Nets already in the finals. Speaking of the Brooklyn Nets, take three.
Look at that.
Finders, keepers, losers, grim weepers. What happened to the old Brooklyn Nets? Earlier this week, the Nets fell to the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs in yet another thrilling finish. They also lost Kyrie Irving to a season-ending injury in Game 4. James Harden played on one leg pretty much for his time in the series. And Kevin Durant was a beast, an absolute beast, but came a toe away from sending the Nets to the Eastern Conference Finals. Jay, play the tape!
The question is, was his toe on the line? And it looks like from that angle, it was on the line. Still a beautiful shot by Durant. Off balance, fading away.
A lot to unpack in this series. Did Nash play KD and Harden too much? As I put it, did Mike Budenholzer Mr. Magoo his way into the conference finals? You done it again, Magoo. Did Giannis finally take the step to true superstar level? Marcus, of all the storylines to pull from this one, which explains the best reason why the Nets lost or that the Bucks won?
Man, I'm so tempted to say Budenholzer.
For which one?
Cape for Budenholzer? Yeah.
No, the opposite. Yeah, you're right. I can't say Budenholzer because we're talking about the reason.
Yeah, we're talking about positive results.
I would like that take.
Lie to us, Marcus.
I cannot do it. This dude's going to win a championship. Marcus, he's going to win a championship.
Because he wouldn't, and he's right. Marcus was right, but Marcus freaked the fuck out because Mike Budenholzer would not double Kevin Durant on that final shot in regulation. It's like, who else is going to get the ball right now? Scared ass Joe Harris?
It's unbelievable. Like, it's malpractice. It feels
now.
Like.
In fairness, that is the shot you would want KD taking if he had to take a shot.
No, you don't want KD taking the shot.
No,
that's what you don't. You don't want him taking the shot. That's what you don't want.
KD could be trying to fart the ball into the rim, and I would believe it's a good shot. Okay, like he's that good.
Give me Joe Harris wide open.
Yeah,
over Kevin Durant with three guys.
No, hey, man, I agree with the sentiment. I felt the same way. I said, get the ball out of KD's hands, especially with the dearth of threats that Brooklyn had at that moment. But it should be said that, I mean, he had to do a pirouette. It's the longest two possible. It's heavily contested.
He fell. It was only contested because he fell. Like, he slipped. That's why it was good defense. Everyone praising, P.J. Tucker stuck with him. Because he fell halfway through his dribble, had to get up and turn around and shoot the ball.
It's actually, it's good defense for normal people, but Kevin Durant is not normal. So a 6'5 guy, like, trying to contest, it doesn't do anything.
That's
Kevin Durant.
Wait a second. Wait. You say that, but what was the last play of the game?
Last play of the game, he missed the shot, not because of P.J. Tucker, but because his lung had fell out and was on the other end of the court.
But it was Drew Holiday. It was Drew Holiday draped all over him.
Tired. What are you saying? He's tired.
He was tired in regulation. That's why he couldn't get by P.J. Tucker.
My point is, you almost don't get to overtime. You almost don't get the extra 5 minutes. You're playing with fire. That's it. You're just playing. He just regularly played with fire. He just regularly, stubbornly plays with fire. It didn't cost him because of Giannis. Giannis ain't no punk, man. For all of the flaws, we can talk about the jumper and pull it up from threes, which is hella irritating. dude is not, man. He is about that life. He is going for it. No matter what. He can't make free throws. He's driving. It doesn't matter.
He's too much about that life.
Yeah. Literally, though. Like, literally.
But you'd rather be too much than whatever. You'd rather be too much.
Ben Simmons is,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Oh, we don't say that name anymore. We just call him 2-5. We just call him 2-5.
Yeah. Sin Bimmons. But I walked away from that series, like, and we talked a lot about Drew, right? Drew is a winner, and he really showed up at the end of that game, like when it was really time. But man, Giannis ain't scared, bro. Like, he is not afraid. Flaws and all, he is going for it. And you know what? That's Kevin Durant too, right? We've seen people not kind of rise to the challenge against that legend against them, and Giannis is just game. Look, it's just straight up game, and it really infuses that team. You're watching Chris Middleton play kind of above his head. You're watching Drew Holiday come up with like the huge shots and make the big plays. But part of that is because Giannis refuses to quit, right? To fold. Like, he's like, I don't care. I'm coming for you nonstop, and you're gonna have to kill me. And it really overcame Bud. Like,
that little push shot. That little push shot to what you're saying, that push shot that he rattled in over KD in overtime, I thought the Bucks were just done until he hit that. That is the biggest non-game-winning shot, I think, of the playoffs, that one right there.
Yep.
To just give them life. They were melting.
And how did he do it? So he's like, I'm going to KD's chest.
That was great. I would say, I agree with everything everybody's saying on this. I do wonder, though, if part of Bud's problem, the reason he catches so much hell, is that he looks like somebody William H. Macy would play in a movie. He's got the look of losing.
The best way I've seen it is he looks like someone just egged his house.
Yeah, yeah.
He always looks like that.
He's got that look, and then you pan it over.
I was dying when I heard that. When did I hear that? Was that... I heard that, I was crying.
Then you pan the camera over and Steve Nash looks like a soap opera actor. And surprise, surprise, catches no flack for playing Kevin Durant 48 minutes in game 5 in a series where ultimately his team got exhausted and KD went 0-5 in overtime because he's just gas. I know they nearly won it, but so little questioning, I think, of Steve Nash decisions relative to what we would see if Bud had lost this game. And Bud got more criticism in victory than Steve Nash got in defeat. Looks and manner matter.
One of them teams was playing without their star point guard and with their other star playing with one leg and clearly can't do anything on the court. It shouldn't have been close.
But that happened.
The other one was playing without Dante DiVincenzo. Like, that's what the other one was playing without.
Hey, I understand the circumstances. I get it.
But
I
also think like he's got a flask in his back pocket and he's doing that Russell Westbrook meme over there. Like.
I agree with what everybody's saying. I do think, though, that playing KD in game 5, 48 minutes, that bears some questioning. I mean, you need to win the next series too. You do need to try to win the next series, and that's risking something considering the injuries before. I just felt like that kind of skated because he was so incredible in that game and everybody went, oh, fantastic. But the weirder one might have been James Harden, 46 minutes off the hamstring injury. That was 52. Also...
Bud looks like he can't figure out why the DVR didn't record that Jeff Foxworthy special.
I mean, it's the musk of losing. I don't want to insult the man. I'm sure if I coached a team, I have no idea what people would say about my visage. But it just doesn't inspire confidence. He always looks angsty and confused.
I mean, neither does Doc, though, right? Doc be on the side. Looking like a therapist who gave up.
Well, speaking of, take 4.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub. An official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
The Sen Bimmons conundrum. Last week on the show, we talked about 2-5 struggle from the free throw line, forcing him to be benched late in games. This week, people are asking about the best trade scenarios after he melted down in Game 7 against the Hawks, including being 6'10", athletic, and afraid to wide open dunk because Trae Young was also 9 feet away.
Usually is. So far this semester, he has been absent 9 times.
He was afraid to go up for that. 2-5 has shown plenty of promise, his size and quickness, his passing, being one of the league's most versatile defenders. But with another disappointing early playoff exit, the facade around 2-5 in Philadelphia appears to be crumbling. The top two voices in the 76ers locker room, Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid, both expressed issues that 2-5 has after Sunday's Game 7 loss. Jade, lay the tape.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to be done?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
Simmons, he cleared out for him. Tapping his way in. Spins on Gallinari. Gives it up. Oh, he was right there. And a foul as Thibault goes to the basket. Boy, Simmons, uncontested, had a layup, but he leaves it for Thibault, who makes something out of it. And
they're taking me in because of the fact that I live in Missouri. I'm just a patsy.
What needs to be done? I mean, obviously, this is coaching.
Yeah, I mean, that's between Ben and I.
Hey, Joel, what was the moment for you personally tonight where your belief in what you had in terms of this being the Sixers' year turned to the recognition that it just wasn't going to happen?
I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was just, you know, we had an open shot. And, you know,
He's been shot. There's the man with a gun.
Yeah, that's between Ben and I.
Thank you.
However, both Doc and Embiid were to blame as well. Doc's play calling was highly questionable at the end, and we all know his playoff stats. 29 career losses with a chance to clinch a playoff series. He's lost a bunch of Game 7s. He's lost a bunch of Game 7s at home.
9 times.
Embiid's performance in Game 7 can also be scrutinized. Ethan, who is really to blame here amongst the 76ers options? And will 2-5... be a Warrior next year?
Oh, wow. I mean, Marcus has some thoughts on that. Marcus might have written a column on that.
Woo!
When you keep saying 2-5, it sounds like a California proposition that you're telling us not to vote for.
I'll just let you know, I said this on Basket Buds the other day on Sunday. Well, we recorded Sunday for Monday. Because of the fraudulence, the overwhelming, consistent fraudulence of one Sen Bimmons and one Goody Robert, I will just be referring to them as 2-5 and 2-7 from here on out.
Wow.
We got to get the fraud alert, though.
If 2-5 passes, we will all lose.
If 2-5 passes, we all lose indeed.
No on 2-5 and 2-7.
I mean...
And when that's greatness, that's a goat, that's a guy you respect, fraud.
Look, the thing that makes me really wary about the Ben Simmons situation is what the people closest to him on the team say, because there are guys who melt down in the playoffs and people will speak up for them and say, hey, you know, we don't worry about him, or hey, he can get as good as he wants to be. That's what they were saying on the inside set. It's a bad sign when the guys on the inside set are saying better things about Ben Simmons than what Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid are saying. So that makes me concerned, I should say. Look, I think you explore it. You make a phone call if you're the Warriors or a bunch of other teams. You try to do your reconnaissance. You look into it. You see why this happened. But that's one of the reasons why I'm not just gung-ho, all in, buy low, trade for Ben Simmons. It's worrying to me when the people who know Ben Simmons best are saying, yeah, I don't even know if you should trade for him, frankly. it's not a great sign.
It's not ideal.
You know who's to blame? I'll tell you who's to blame. Ooh. Especially in light of what we've heard then and what we heard from Doc and them.
Get him.
Daryl Morey is to blame. Daryl Morey is to blame. How do you not have a point guard by now? How? How do you not even have another option?
He hasn't even been there a year. Wait, what do you mean by now?
You had all year. You had all year. You had all year. Yeah, okay. George Hill was the answer. Absolutely.
He's always the answer in the playoffs. He's always, someone always trades for him. He's a big shot.
Marcus is a genius. The way he flipped it to you had all year.
You had all year.
He literally hasn't been there a year.
You had all year. You don't come through. You don't pull off the James Harden deal.
He's been there 8 months.
You don't get to pull off the James Harden deal. You can't get your old boss to pull a trigger. Come on. How can you not know how to play Tillman for Tito?
Is Daryl Morey a president? The first 100 days, the legislative package?
Yes. And then number two, Kyle Lowry's sitting right there. Sitting right there. You're still playing if you got Kyle Lowry.
The Sixers hired Daryl Morey October 28th.
Sounds like plenty time to me. I don't understand.
You weren't allowed to trade as of March 25th.
Look, he had the information.
Less than five months to make a trade.
What do you need?
Daryl Morey for like a third of a pandemic.
What do you need? I don't know what you need. Tell me how long he needs. 3 years? He needs three years to make a trade? Got to get a point guard in there.
By the way, I do think primary responsibility is on Ben Simmons, but when you see a guy descending
it's clearly Ben Simmons.
It's clear, but you do wonder if the messaging around him or the people working with him are not ideal, especially when they've had this issue with Fultz, where they've had another player who has the shooting yips. You do wonder if they're doing something wrong. Something's not exactly right. But even if I agree that the primary responsibility is on the player, you have to get yourself better, even if it's suboptimal conditions. You know, Steph Curry was getting better when it was Jerry DeGregoria or whoever else on the Warriors staff. I do wonder if it's not the most optimal environment.
But if you do know he's not working, right? If this is the thing, he's not putting in the work. He's not trying to prove himself. This didn't start in the playoffs, right? Mm. So you kind of knew this, right? You kind of had the ability to be prepared. I don't like why we've seen the story before. We've seen it, Zach. Like we've saw what's going to happen in the playoffs, and here you are again in the exact same position of please, Ben, please shoot. It's almost not even his fault. He is who he is.
No, it's his fault. He wouldn't dunk a basketball.
Man, the dunk a basketball is crazy.
That's when I gave up. I'm willing to be pragmatic.
I gave up on the replay when I saw it was Trae Young. Like I don't know why I just presumed like it was somebody over 60.
Gallo Lumen,
right? It was Trae Young.
Gallo Lumen.
Gallo Lumen sounds like a DJ set.
I said it though. How did they not? Just another reason why it's Daryl Morey's fault. How did they not get Wendy Rhodes in there to sit this dude on the couch? Like, come on, man. Like this is clearly in his head.
Danilo Gallinari averages .4 blocks per game for his career.
Yeah, but how many looms? How many looms?
He is a loomer.
More looms in the Middle Ages, this guy. He's incredible.
Lumen is an underrated stat. It's very Rudy Gobert-esque, right?
Yeah, it's right up there with screen assists is the loomer.
Oh, God. Rudy Gobert, we didn't even talk about him.
The Illuminati. Zach,
the screen... Screen assist, he's got one. Like, he's watching the game.
You know who said that? That was me. His screen assist moving forward. One, watching these playoffs on a screen because his ass got sent home by Terrence Mann. No offense to Terrence Mann.
Y'all have.
Jeez,
guys.
He was. Basketball butts. I do wonder if we're going. I do wonder if we're going hard on Gobert, and he had some sort of meta. I worry if there was an injury, just because he looked so bad in that.
Why you don't worry about an injury for Ben Simmons?
I mean, because Ben Simmons didn't. Ben Simmons didn't look injured. Rudy Gobert was wobbling out there. He was teetering out there. He looked like
he's always teetering.
The part that gets that people aren't talking about with Gobert, and we're missing it. Reggie Jackson and Paul George were driving to the rim on him.
Into his chest.
Yes. They were like, I'm getting to the rim on him. That's the problem. Forget all the cover in the corner and three. All right. I got it. Reggie Jackson should not be getting layups on Rudy Gobert. It just shouldn't be happening. He should be wiping all that stuff away.
Reggie Jackson thought it was like one of those sizzle reels in the summer for training. Like, that's what he thought when he saw him on him, when he saw 2-7. That's what he saw.
That's an indictment right there. Like, in the playoffs, dudes are feeling free to drive the lane and get to the rim. Like, at least hard foul them dudes or something.
I think they detected weakness. I think we're maybe burying Rudy a little too early. Didn't he have some sort of hip issue? I don't know. It seemed like with
the problem
men,
was his hips had to be on the perimeter. That's the problem.
The problem is. We wait too long and we take too long to recalibrate what we think about these players. We'll say, yo, this person is a superstar, and then they'll show us that they're not. And then it's like, okay, now you just got to shift the paradigm on them. Like, Ben Simmons is not a superstar. Like, so don't even evaluate him from that perspective, right? Like, evaluate him from the perspective of Andrew Wiggins, right? Like, or just, you know, like, if you're expecting Ben Simmons to save your franchise, like, you already failed. Like, even Rudy Gobert, like, stop propping this guy up as some kind of all world. I'm going to change, you know, my defense is going to stop the glow. Like, stop.
He's great in the regular season. He'll get you a top seed. Like, he's really good in the regular season.
But what happened, though? What happened with Gobert? Because he didn't even look like that guy in the regular season, man. It was painful to watch.
He looked like he looks in the playoffs. That's what he looked like. Maybe he has a hip injury in the playoffs every single year.
Is it nerves? Is that what it is? What is it?
I think it's just game planning, man. Like, you can random night, random Tuesday in the NBA. Like, yeah, like, I'm not prepared to go up against Rudy Gobert. Give me a couple of games in a 7-game series. I'll exploit it. Like, that's what Dorian Finney-Smith was talking shit.
That's what the playoffs are.
Dorian Finney-Smith was like, when I saw that Gobert was on me tonight, I knew I was going to get a lot of shots.
Yeah, I think that it's a situation where these guys are exposed to a certain degree and shrunk, which is understandable on a human level. But Ben Simmons, embarrassed, shrunk. Rudy Gobert started to get embarrassed, shrunk. Giannis started to get embarrassed with the free throws, and he just went harder. And maybe that's a superstar
Superstar. But the problem is, like, you pull Rudy Gobert. Stop treating him like a guy who's like, he has to be on a
Quinn Snyder.
Or adjust the defense.
Yes. Adjust the defense game plan. Now you know. I think Quinn Snyder is an excellent coach. I love Quinn Snyder. I'm friends with Quinn Snyder's family. Yeah. He's a good friend of mine.
We play squash together.
I talked to him just before the show. But
I'm texting with him right now.
I just got a text. But if he's not fired, bye.
The end of this sentence.
What the hell is going on?
3 p.m.
Stay on the weed.
It is not just age. It's accomplishments. It's experience. I have far more experience than many others that sought the office of president of this country. I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought presidency. I will be prepared to deal with the people.
Which we bring to this endeavor.
Senator Benson.
Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack
Kennedy.
We'll
find our country and all. The
this endeavor, we'll light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world.
No, it's a real slap in the face. Speaking of Take Five, pat on the back or a slap in the face on Wednesday night. The Bucks and the Hawks opened up the Eastern Conference Finals. And you can't tell that we're recording this before the tip because, oh my God, can you believe the win by the Bucks? Hawks.
McCall! Lopez, Young, finding space as he usually does.
Editing whatever works. Giannis and Trae Young both reaching new heights in this playoffs thus far will face off in a very exciting series. I'll call it right here on Tuesday. Wow. Giannis was asked about Trae Young.
He's an amazing player, Giannis said. Tuesday of Trae Young per ESPN's Malika Andrews. What he can do for his Town size, business. It's unbelievable. What he's done in a 3-year span is unbelievable. He's got to keep getting better, keep believing in himself, and the sky's the limit for him.
Marcus?
That sounds good.
No. That is no, such that a is, backhanded compliment.
That is, you know what such that is? A pat on you top of the head.
Is? English isn't his first language. Come on.
No, it's when someone says, like, hey, how do they look? And like, oh, they look good for them today. Like, yo, like John looks good for him, you know? That John usually looks like a real slob.
It's like how you guys are talking about
my It doesn't even matter what he meant. I'm telling you, I bet you this is how Trey took it. Who is he? I need to get better. What? And that just turned this series up, Lisa, right? That's what the reason game one was so intense and so physical and so hype was because Giannis turned it up by patting this dude on top of the head. This is the Greek-Nigerian version of don't worry about... Remember what Katie said? Don't worry about things above you.
Like, at the top of things.
Don't worry about what's going on at the top of things.
He was like, yeah, man, he just got to keep getting better. And, you know, pretty soon, he'll be on my level.
Good job, Skipper.
He'll be with me. Like, job, sport. I can't believe people were like, oh, Giannis. Everybody was like, oh, man, Giannis is so kind. Such a deferential superstar. He's not intimidated at all.
No.
He literally patted the dude on top of the head like, hey, you're going to be good.
Hey, man.
That was a pass, too. That was not a shot there by Trae Young. Wow. Now back-to-back assists by Trae Young on those high string and roll. Oliver with a nice move and hit.
Hurt people, man. If we believe that he's trying to slight him. I guess we can say hurt people, because people have been doing the inverse of this to Giannis time and time again. That's what Harden did. It's, hey, he's not really that Facts. Good. No he's bag. Just athletic. He's just athletic and big. You know, he's not
skilled.
I wish
I could be 7 feet and just run down the floor and dunk.
Yeah. So they've been doing that to Giannis. Giannis has now flipped it and said, so skilled, so little.
He just got to keep getting better. What was the end of the quote? He said something. Like,
the sky's the limit for him. Just keep getting better. Believe in himself.
Believe in
and
yourself.
The sky is the limit. That's what you say to a fucking kid who wants to make the freshman team.
Too. Like, he went and talked to the school, right? Yeah. Like,
hey, Giannis, you think I can make JV this year? Hey, man, you just got to keep getting better. Believe in yourself. The sky's the limit for you, Tommy.
Well, did anybody think that Trae Young had a deficit of confidence or self-esteem? That's what's also funny about it.
Hey, like, that's what's hilarious.
If only this guy who shoots from 35 feet.
No one thought Jason Terry was lacking confidence. And then Dwayne Wade held up his hand a little too long in game 2 of the finals. And all of a sudden, it was like extra motivation.
I mean,
come on, Ethan. You got to admit, that was a little...
Look... I don't know how he meant it. I just know that the man, I don't know how he would have said it in Greek. Who knows? But I'm glad he said
it.
I'm happy he said it.
Absolutely. I'll give it to you that he probably didn't mean it that way, but that's how it sounded. And I bet you that's how Trey took it.
If someone told me to keep believing in myself, I would punch them in the face.
Especially after what Trey has done in these playoffs. Yeah. Like
he just took out the one seed.
Yeah,
that
was funny.
Keep believing in yourself. You're going to believe in these buckets.
If you just keep working on your game,
Keep like, working. Keep getting better. Believe in yourself. The sky's the limit, Trey.
I've got a random thought because people are arguing whether this is good or bad for the NBA to not have the overdogs, not have the name brands. I'm kind of wondering. I wonder, you know, is this really all about Giannis becoming a household name, or is Trae Young the guy? I mean, this is kind of Southern Derrick Rose, but maybe even more flair. I mean, way more flair.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's going to be determined by how good the Hawks can consistently be and whether we're going to elevate.
Hold on. Are you saying is Giannis taking the shot because he knows it's between him and Trae for the next?
I'm not overanalyzing it like that. I just think when people say stuff like, this is great for the next generation, I think, yeah, maybe. It's not like Jokic going to the conference finals made Jokic jerseys fly off the shelves necessarily. But I do think there's something to the idea that Trae Young could be a real superstar. If he believes in himself, and only if he believes in himself, he could get there just because he's got the whole package. He's got the stuff people are into. And I'm just thinking, because, you know, when people extend it to, I don't know if Devin Booker's that guy. I just don't. I think Devin Booker is awesome. I think he's an amazing player.
I think if he does in the finals, I think he could become that guy.
What you mean? You don't think Devin Booker's that guy?
He could be
like
that
the
guy,
household
pal.
Star, that kind of thing. He's got the attitude for it. He's got the game for it.
Well, I think what's interesting is you almost need one of these dudes. You need one of these dudes to become a top five player, I guess is what I'm thinking. I mean, Giannis can be that, but that's the question. Can Devin Booker or Trae Young, if they keep believing in themselves, get to be a top five player and keep getting better?
I mean, that's such a messed up thing to say. I don't care that it's second language or whatever. That's such a messed up thing to say. I do think it's interesting the idea that creating his I was actually talking about this with someone earlier today of when Jordan was gone, right? It was, is it Iverson? Is it Grant Hill? Is it Vince Carter? Is it Shaq, Kobe, you know, T-Mac? Who's the next one, right? And LeBron will be gone soon enough at some point. Steph, you know, won't be far behind him. And so, like, these playoffs kind of possibly giving way to that, unless we just concentrate on, man, Chris Paul finally gets his due.
Get out of my column, man.
Well, that's the uncomfortable thing when I look at the landscape, is that just because LeBron and Steph leave doesn't actually mean somebody enters to take their place. It didn't happen. Jordan left.
The quest for it is interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The quest for it, though. And the marketing behind that quest is interesting. Like, what decisions get made by the league.
Yeah. But you're right. We might not even know who that player is. It might be Kate, right?
I mean, it will eventually happen. But I think there's this idea that, okay,
he's not staying in Detroit.
You know, Jordan leaves. And then for a while, there was nobody. And the NBA was in a bad way because, you know, maybe you get a little bit of Iverson, but.
Yeah.
Not enough success, and eventually it's Kobe, eventually it's LeBron, and then you've got those guys.
I mean, but what was that, like a 3-year span?
I mean, I think for Kobe to be...
Kobe broke out.
But I think Kobe to be like Kobe was... I mean, Kobe is this main face of the league was post-Shaq.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, yeah.
That was post-Shaq. Like, the NBA... I might be right about this. Where the NBA had this big dip post-Jordan that it got itself out of, and then, you know, by 2010, it was really rolling, right? And then, you know, on into Steph. And so I just don't know who's going to be that guy. I don't know who's picking up the torch. And maybe
the dip came after Shaq, though, after Kobe Shaq. I mean, the Kobe Shaq Lakers were huge.
Yeah.
That was a massive, big deal. But after
I'm thinking like mid-2000s it was
mid-2000s was rough.
Yeah. Nets.
When the Dream Team was bad, when Team USA was bad too.
2004.
Those Nets conference finals, you know?
Nets Spurs,
It's just that was rough. That was rough.
For the kids listening, the New Jersey Nets.
Yes.
And for the kids listening, San Antonio Spurs were actually a dynasty once.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, they were.
You're that old guy that just talks about politics all the time in interviews. He was actually like the greatest coach of all time.
You know, the President Snow from the Hunger Games. That was a coach for an NBA team. Just using the references they understand. Right.
You think they're reading Hunger Games? We got that on TikTok.
I have no idea. I don't know what the kids are up to. I don't know who that next guy is going to be. I think it could be Zion in the right circumstances. I think if Trae Young, I mean, we keep making the joke, but if he does make some sort of Steph Curry leap, he could be that guy. It's very unclear. I think it's clear that the LeBron Steph era has a shelf life, but I don't think what's clear is what's going to kind of lead the league after that. Might be Luka.
I think we know what tanked the NBA during those mid-aughts. It was three straight MVPs to Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki. I think that's what tanked
that's
it.
That's what did it?
No, I heard that's it was the Malice in the Palace. That's what I heard.
Oh, God, I missed that.
Do you think that's possible? I'm giving away ideas. I'm going to write this article. I need to do an investigation of what the hell tanked the league during that time and what the hell untanked the league, because it was this massive turnaround. It was this massive dip and massive turnaround.
LeBron and Kobe.
LeBron,
right?
Yeah.
Or was it the rule changes? Did the rule changes facilitate it?
Find out in the future on theathletic.com. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, you got to subscribe to all of the shows. Do not leave a single show out, or I swear to God, Marcus is going to come to your home.
If you're not listening on Monday, something's wrong with you.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all
I don't know about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mondays is the day.
You find that on the Athletic Podcast Network, House of Strauss, Warriors Plus Minus, No Dunks, and many more. For Ethan Strauss, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. We will see you and yell at you next time right here on the Athletic NBA Show.